ויש להבין את כל אלו השמות
שהזוהר. We need to understand all those names which the Holy Zohar gives to Malchut. One, what does it mean that Malchut is called Hey, and that she is Hevel without labor and toil? After all, there is a rule, I found but did not labor and do not believe. Two, what does it mean that Malchut is called Life? In several places, the Holy Zohar calls Malchut the quality of judgment, from whom extends death. Three, what does it imply that Malchut is called the Lord's Mouth? Four, what does it mean that she is on man's head? Five, why does he say that Malchut is called the image of the Lord? As it is written, the image of the Lord does he behold. Six, what does it mean that Malchut is called Tselem, image? As it is written, only in the image does a man walk.
ובכדי לבאר את הנעל, צריכים להבין מקודם את כל העניין
ש... And to explain the above said, we first need to understand the purpose of creation, meaning the connection that the creatures should have with the Creator.
שעל קוטב הזה מתבססת...
All of our labor surrounds this axle, as well as the punishments we suffer if we do not come to correct it. This is also all the reward we receive when the creatures connect with the Creator.
It
is known that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. However, in order to prevent the bread of shame, which is the matter of equivalence of form, as disparity of form in spirituality is called, moving farther, and equivalence of form is called moving closer. Therefore, although his desire to do good to his creations is unbounded, still the matter of equivalence of form was made, meaning not to receive delight and pleasure unless it is in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator.
ומזה נמשך לנו עניין
From this extends to us the matter of labor, meaning that we must make a screen so we can receive the delight and pleasure in order to bestow.
וזהו שורש היגיעה.
This is the root of the labor that we have, as it is written in general preface to the book Panimiyot Umasbirot.
וזה לשונו.
Know that the screen in the vessel of Malchut is the root of darkness because of the detaining force that exists in the screen to stop the upper light from spreading to phase four. This is also the root of the labor in order to receive reward, since labor is an involuntary act, for the worker feels comfortable only when resting. But because the landlord is paying his salary, he annuls his will before the will of the landlord. Thus, all we need to do is work. This is the only thing incumbent upon us, as it is written, which God has created to do. Created is what we attribute to the Creator, which is the desire to do good to his creations. And from created extends to us the matter of separation and disparity of form. However, by to do, meaning through the work we do in order to achieve the degree in order to bestow,
אנו שוב מתקרבים להבורא.
We move closer to the Creator once again through equivalence of form.
And
this is the meaning of the partnership between the creatures and their Creator. As it is written in the Zohar,
and
to say to Zion, you are my people. Do not pronounce, you are my people, Ami, but you are with me, Imi, which means partner. Lower ones. We find two matters in the labor. One, the work and the reward are two matters,
but
the work is not in the place of the reward, meaning that the time of work and the time of reward are separate.
But
the work too, the work and the reward are in the same place and the same time. Labor means that one has to make a movement. Movement also happens in three ways. One, labor of the body. Two, labor of the mind. Three, inner labor, which is the hardest. This is done when he must work with the mind, while doing things that contradict the mind and the intellect. That is, he must annul his mind. This means that the mind mandates that he will do this or that, but he makes a movement and cancels his mind, what he understands to be 100% true according to his mind. And yet he annuls it. And this is true labor. If he were to find a tactic to receive the reward without exertion, he will promptly waive the effort, because to him, the effort is but a means to obtain the reward. Thus, if he can get the reward through some other means, meaning not through work, then he will think, why should I work for nothing? Or does not receive any reward for his work, since he can get what he will be given for the work without the work.
It
follows that he is not paid, and as we said, it is impossible to work without pay. Therefore, he waives the work. This is regarded as the work and the reward being in two places and two times, since the work is, for example, that he is in a factory, and the pay is the paycheck he receives at the office. And in two times means a separate time for work and a separate time for reception of the reward. Because the work is every hour and every moment, and the reward is received only at the end of the day, when he finishes the work. As it is written, you shall not oppress the hired, you shall give him his wages each day before the sun sets. But sometimes the work and the pay are in the same place and the same time. This is so where the work itself is the reward, and he does not expect to be given any other reward for his work. That is, every move the body makes, as was said above, the body cannot make a move at all without reward. But here, when his work is the reward, he receives the reward right where he works. And also, he receives the reward while he is working. That is, he does not need to wait for another time to be given the reward, such as for the end of the day. But rather, each and every movement is rewarded right there and then. Therefore follows that the work is not regarded as labor for which to receive reward. Only when the work and the reward are in two places and two times is work regarded as labor. That is, when the work is only a means to receive reward. Therefore, if he could toss the means and receive the purpose right away, why would he need the means? For this reason, since the whole purpose is the reward, his attention is only on the reward, and he's always searching how to work less and gain more. But if the work and the reward are simultaneous, this work is not regarded as labor, of which we can say that he wants to get rid of work, since the work and the pay are in the same place and the same time, since he enjoys serving an important person. Unboundedly. It follows that we labor in Torah and Mitzvot because we lack the importance and greatness of the Creator. In the words of the Holy Zohar, this is called that all our thoughts should be only to raise the Shekhinah from the dust. That is, to us, spirituality is completely in concealment of the face, and we do not feel the importance of our work. That is, we do not feel the importance of the one for whom we work and whom we are serving. Therefore, when we overcome in the work, that work is by coercion. This is called labor, since the reward is not in the place of the work. In other words, by working in coercion, he expects to receive a reward after some time and in a different place. And since the reward is far from the time of the work, he has time to think that now he is working and later he will receive reward. Therefore, there is a time when there is work there, and this is called labor. This is not so when he feels the importance of the work, meaning when he feels whom he is serving. At that time, the reward is in the place of the work, and such work is not regarded as labor, because the work and the reward are in the same time and in the same place, and this is not labor. We can discern this when here, if the work and the reward are in the same place, the work itself is the reward. Therefore, he will not want to relinquish the work, because naturally you don't waive the goal, you only waive the means. Therefore, when the reward and the work are in the same place and the same time, A person cannot relinquish the work. If he relinquishes the work, he relinquishes the reward, since they are in the same place. But if a person works like a porter, as in the above allegory, since there is labor, because the work and the reward are in two different places, and the person wants to relinquish the labor, which is only a means for the reward, and he wants the reward. For example, a person who works to obtain the next world is willing to relinquish the work, meaning if he is given the next world without labor, since he needs only the goal and not the means. We can discern the same regarding a gift. If an important person gives someone a gift, the recipient distinguishes two things about the gift. One, that he loves him, or he would not have given him the gift. Two, the gift itself. Here too, we should make the same discernments, meaning what is the goal and what is the means. And we should also determine the importance of the giver. If the giver is an important person, then the love is the goal and the gift is only a means. Whereby the gift, the love appears here. It follows that here too, he is willing to relinquish the gift, but not the love. But if the giver is an ordinary person, then the gift is the goal and love is the means, and he can relinquish the love as long as he gives him gifts. It follows that whether he gives or receives, there is always the same calculation of importance of the person. Of lo lishma.
מה שאין כן, באלו אנשים שעובדים על הכוונה, היינו שיוכלו...
However, in those who work on the intention, to be able to aim their actions only to bestow, the reward and the punishment are in the same place and the same time. Since his inability to aim the act of bestowing contentment upon the Creator is his punishment, and he does not need to be given any other punishment, for nothing torments him more than seeing that he is still far from the Creator. The evidence is that he does not have the love of the Creator, that he wants to respect him. All this is because he is in a state of achoraim, posterior, and concealment from the Creator. This is what pains him, and this is the punishment. This is his punishment. But here is his reward, if he has love for the Creator and wants to bestow contentment upon him. However, all this concerns specifically those who want to come to work only for the Creator, and not in lo lishma. It can be said about them that the punishment and the reward are in the same place and in the same time. But normally, punishment is when they are in two different places. This is so because generally, observing Torah and commandments is the revealed part, meaning only in the act it is called revealed, because in the in terms of the act, it is revealed to everyone that one does and what one says. And in the revealed part, we explained above that there the reward and punishment are in two different places. With the above, we shall come to clarify the words of the Holy Zohar, where we asked six questions. It is known that Malchut is called the last Hay in the name Havaya, called Bchina Dalet, phase 4 of direct light, the fourth discernment in the direct light. Her quality is to receive in order to receive. And all the corrections we need to go through, to do through Torah and Mitzvot, are to correct her. So the reception in her will be in order to bestow, which is called adhesion with the Creator. But if her intention is not to bestow, she becomes removed from the Creator. Also, it is known that everything we learn about the upper worlds pertains to the souls. As our sages said, Rabbi Birkiya said, the heaven and earth were created only by Israel's merit. As it is written, in the beginning God created. And there is no beginning but Israel. As it was said, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. Therefore, everything we learn in the upper worlds is only so the souls will receive the upper abundance. As it is known that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. And in order to correct the disparity of form that governs Malchut herself, who is called receiving in order to receive, this disparity of form causes separation in spirituality, and this vessel called Malchut is the vessel of all the souls from which man was created. He must correct it so that all the vessels of reception will work in order to bestow.
And
see what is written in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. And in order to mend that separation which lies on the vessel of the souls, he has created all the worlds and separated them into two systems. As in the verse, God has made them one opposite the other. And these are the four pure worlds, Abia, and opposite them, the four impure worlds, Abia, of impurity. The four impure worlds, Abia. And he removed the will to receive for themselves from them and placed it in the system of the impure worlds, Abia. And the worlds cascaded onto the reality of this corporeal world to a place where there is a body and a soul and a time of corruption and a time of correction. The body, which is the will to receive for itself, extends from its root in the thought of creation and passes through the system of the impure worlds. As it is written, a man is born a wild ass's colt. He remains under the authority of that system for the first 13 years, which is the time of corruption. By engaging in mitzvot from 13 years of age onward, when he engages in order to bestow contentment upon its maker, he begins to purify the will to receive for himself imprinted in him, and slowly turns it to be in order to bestow. By this he extends a holy soul from its root in the thought of creation, and it passes through the system of the pure world and dresses in the body. And so he accumulates degrees of holiness from the thoughts of creation in Ein Sof until they aid him in turning the will to receive for himself in him to be entirely in the form of reception in order to bestow contentment upon his maker. According to what he presents there in the introduction to the book of Zohar, we see that everything we say about the upper worlds concerns only the souls. Therefore, when we say that Malchut moved farther from the name Havaya, it pertains to the souls, which need to correct her, so she will connect with the name Havaya. Because with respect to the souls, she drew farther. However, when a person takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, and he is in bestowal, it causes man's root, which is Malchut, to also be in bestowal, which is equivalence of form. At that time, it is considered that Malchut engages in bestowal called equivalence of form. It is regarded as Malchut moving herself closer to the name Havaya, meaning to the giver. This is the meaning of returning the hey to the vav. For yod, hey, vav are called the upper nine, who are the giver. And the letter vav is regarded as giving to Malchut. Since now Malchut is regarded as giving, like the Vav. This is why the Holy Zohar calls Malchut by the name Hey. And this is the answer to the first question we asked. On the one hand, at her root, Malchut is the root of the created beings. She is named Malchut due to her root of receiving in order to receive. From this aspect extends death, since reception causes separation from the life of lives. For this reason, death extends from here. This is also why Malchut is called the tree of death. As it is written, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Chia said, the text testifies that anyone who gives charity to the poor awakens the tree of life, which is Zeranpin, to add life to the tree of death, which is Malchut. Then there is life and joy above in Malchut. We therefore see that on the one hand, Malchut is called the tree of death from the perspective of her root. But when the souls engage in bestowal, she is in equivalence of form. And then the restriction and concealment that were on her are removed. Specifically from here, meaning from Malchut, life extends to the world, and in that respect, Malchut is called life. By this we explained the second question, why Malchut is called life, since Malchut is called the tree of death. The answer is that after he is corrected, as in work below awakens a work above, it means that the work, the lower ones, awaken the upper roots, by which they cause the unification of the Creator and His Shekhinah, and from that unification, life comes to the world. Bareheaded. It is known that Malchut is called faith, and faith is always above reason. Man's mind is referred to as man's head. Accordingly, the Malchut of heaven, the kingdom of heaven that one must take upon oneself, should be above reason and above mind. This is why it is considered that Malchut is on man's head. This is why it is forbidden to walk for Amot bareheaded, since if she departs from a man's head, life promptly departs from him. And bareheaded means that Malchut, which is regarded as faith, is not on his mind and reason. It is, as we said, that faith is regarded as above his head, meaning above reason. And because he has no faith, the light of life, which comes from Malchut, certainly departs from him. Since Malchut is called life only by correcting the vessels of bestowal, but in vessels of reception, Malchut is called the tree of death. This is why life departs from him.
The
fifth question, why Malchut is called the image of the Lord, is because image means, as we say, I want to have a general picture of the matter. Therefore, when wanting to know the general picture of spirituality, we are told, and the image of the Lord does he behold. That is, seeing the general picture of spirituality depends on the extent to which he has been rewarded with faith in the Creator. Faith is expressed in mind and heart. And according to the faith with which one has been awarded, so he receives the image of it. Therefore, since Malchut is called faith, Malchut is called the image of the Lord, meaning that according to his faith, so is the image of spirituality that he receives. Also, in the above manner, we can answer the sixth question, why is Malchut called Tzelem, or image? As it is written, only in the Tzelem, in the image, does a man walk. Tzelem also means faith, since sun is called reason, known knowledge, and tzel, shadow, is something that hides the sun. And this is the faith, which is called clothing. If a person has that clothing, the upper light dresses in him. As it is written in the Zohar, if the tzelem, if the image departs, the mochin depart, and the mochin dresses according to the tzelem, the image. He explains throughout the article the matter of work and reward being in the same place or in two different places. And in the end, he solves it, as I understand, that if a person works in bestowal, the reward and the labor are in the same place.
Yes,
that's why it's corrected. Problem is, if the work and the reward are in the same place, it goes hand in hand with his desire. And then it's not above reason, so it's not clear why it's bestowal.
If the reward and the work are in one place,
yes, if he wants to bestow to the Creator,
yes,
and the reward he receives is bestowal to the Creator,
yes,
it still works with his desire. It's seemingly bestowing in order to receive.
No, but his desire is to bestow.
Right, but that's what he receives.
What do you mean that he receives? If it's to bestow,
כן, אבל זה הולך יחד עם הרצון שלו.
Yes, but it goes hand in hand with his desire. There's no resistance. He didn't go above his own reason.
You want him to be in resistance to the desire to bestow?
Yes, there has to be a part of him that resists it.
How can he be corrected in the desire to receive?
That's
what I can't grasp. On the one hand, he can't be corrected and in the will to receive. On the other hand, if he gets what he wants, it works with his desire. Why is this correction? It's like an angel or bestowing in order to receive.
It's correction because he corrected the desire to receive to be in order to bestow.
I can't convey the question.
No, זה כמו שהוא כותב בשמעתי שם.
It's like he writes in Shamati that has to be wicked even in the end of correction, so there will always be a difference, a gap between reception and bestow.
But as it's written, the wicked are not there any longer in the end of correction.
So what's the difference between the creator and the created being in the end of correction?
That the creator is the bestower and the created beings are as if the bestowers, because they're bestowing only by receiving additional forces from the creator, correct themselves, and by that bestow. The created being becomes the second.
No,
I still don't get it.
Well, we'll understand it maybe in another.
Speaks about the image of the Creator that he will see in faith.
Yes.
We describe this as a stereoscopic image, where if you enter it, you see this 3D. You lose your focus, soften your gaze. If you lose the focus, you just see a piece of paper. So this faith that a person has to maintain, that because the moment he loses it, he's punished there and then on the spot that he cannot bestow. How do we hold on to such an image in the ten? Which one would feel?
I have yet to understand what that picture is.
The image of the Creator that he will see, he describes it in the article as faith above reason that he holds above his head. So the reason would not be revealed, which means it covers man's head.
Yes.
And if he loses it, that is his punishment. He lost the ability to love the Creator and to bestow to the Creator. So I'm asking, how can we hold such an image in the tent? It requires such a focus that if you lose it, if even for a moment you see it, corporeal picture. Do we have the capacity in the tent to hold on to such a state?
Where
together we maintain a state of bestowing to the Creator, contentment?
Yes.
So what is that focal point that I lose for a moment and then I return immediately to hold on to that state of the tent?
It's your point of connection with the others.
And each one of the friends can do it together with the friends in any given moment?
Yes.
What should he do? How does he establish the state?
If he loses his connection with the others, then he has a problem. He enters disconnect. We need to read it again.
Okay. Another
question. That that's disciple who carries the rabbi's suitcase, and he feels the labor and the reward in the same place. The disciple receives the reward while doing the work, by carrying the rabbi's package.
Yes.
If to liken it to us, what kind of package do we carry so we'll be able to feel the labor and the reward in the same place?
The labor in Torah and Mitzvot is in constantly being connected between us and constantly between us scrutinize what the Creator is and how we're connected to Him, and to update ourselves each time more and more.
Meaning with such an effort, we can feel that the effort is the reward, the effort for connection.
Yes, but the effort needs to be without cessation, non-stop. Each time more and more.
רב, הוא מדבר ש... כאילו מעכשיו הם אומרים לי לשרת את האדם הכי חשוב.
If now they would tell me to serve the most important person, let's say this is, they show me, this is the most important person in the world, serve him, he would do nothing to me. I wouldn't feel that I'm receiving any reward for it. He emphasizes it here that the size of the reward is measured according to what he knows, how much he recognizes the greatness and importance of the rabbi. So we have to have recognition of that and awareness. Without that awareness, he can't receive it.
That he doesn't need to depict himself.
So how can we increase the awareness of the greatness of the rabbi? So you have to be aware of it, otherwise you can't work for the rabbi.
No, if you cannot depict to oneself the rav is great, then you don't have a rav.
Yes, but the depiction, he says you have to be aware of it, you have to know him, it's beyond the depiction.
That's if you work on this depiction, then gradually you start to discover his greatness. Yes, Dudi?
If when a person does not have the importance and greatness of the Creator, he continues to do actions against his will, then that state is called faith above reason.
If it's according to his desire, then why is it above?
No, against the desires. He has no importance, but he has to continue working in action.
Well,
in such a state, we will call faith above reason.
No, he has no reason and he has no faith. He's simply for some reason performing the commands, and that's it. He has no spiritual reward for it.
So, what's the reason a person would act against his will?
He'll be given blows. He'll be punished. He'll be disregarded, disparaged.
So, when will we say faith above reason?
When it comes from a person, the awakening comes from the person.
What kind of awakening can come from a person? It's against his will. Against his reason. Where does he get this awakening from? His reason?
From him learning and starting to feel, as it is written in the books, that bestowal upon the Creator is actually the purpose of his labor.
And if he doesn't have such importance for bestowal during such times,
then he can't do nothing. Then at least maybe what remains for him is to restrict himself and to be dependent on others.
When a person has no importance, yet he continues to act, is that called exertion?
It depends what he's doing.
The same actions, because nevertheless he would like to hold himself from the path. But he doesn't have importance for the goal. Is that called exertion?
Yes. There are several kinds of exertions. It all depends on towards what a person is examining himself, checking himself. And labor is certainly that which is against the desire and in all these states, you have part of the from the desire, some from above the desire, and some that there's an egoistic desire here and a different desire already, a desire to bestow. There are many possibilities. Yes.
Is faith above reason exertion? Is that exertion?
Faith above reason is not labor, because a person cannot labor in it. He cannot. He can only cause the upper light to bestow upon him and cause him to rise higher than the reason, and then he will have the force of faith.
PT 27, specifically when reading the article and making an effort to connect to the Creator and the Kabbalist connection and prayer, that's where we feel the exertion and the reward in the same place. But during the day, when you gather with friends, not in the time of a lesson, so it feels like separate times. It's not felt at the same time. So what's the flaw here? Why don't I feel the effort to connect between us always as reward and effort at the same time?
Because you're not always tending to it. Try always tend to the common effort.
Correctly.
We learn that we have to depict to ourselves that we are connected to the group, and in the group we come to one desire common, and before us, ahead or in front of us, is the Creator, one unique and unified for everyone. The more we can approach these things closer, become closer to them, it will give us
what don't we do on Sabbath?
Our work in Torah and commandments is that we try to adapt ourselves to all kinds of degrees, spiritual degrees. And Shabbat, the Sabbath, means we're not working. We still have to understand what it means not to work on Shabbat. And in return for this, we feel the systems of the upper worlds, what state they're in on Shabbat. And this is how we rise and reveal more and more up.
Creator will be my main fear.
I don't know. I think we need to be connected, and in our connection, to turn to the Creator and ask Him for help. And when we get the strength from it, we will be able to rise with a common faith general common faith to faith above reason. And then we will rise as though on the wings of eagles. And in this way, we will begin to feel the degrees of ascension, that they are like a ladder, where we can be more and more and more disconnected from the intention to receive and connected to the intention to bestow. And it's as if we rise from level to level. That's it.
He writes that man's work is to enter the internality of the Torah called the concealed part, that you can't see a person's work. That it's like a person has two options. Also, when working for the Creator, I can work to receive a reward, or I can work to ask for forces to change.
Yes.
Can engage in the externality of the Torah, where everybody sees what he's doing and there's reward and punishment. And if he eats something bad, he'll get blows. Or to engage in the internality. The question is, can we do both? Can a person be focused on two types of work, or it's either this or that? Or when a person deals with externality and that's the center of his life, or internality, or he should be in both?
How can it be?
I don't know.
You're just asking. How can a person be on two levels? On two kinds of connections. How is it possible?
Because it's like it's easier to do it in a deed. For instance, we were talking about the tzitzit a few days ago. The easiest thing is to go spend 20 shekel and you have a tzitzit and that's it. You did your thing. You can put a V on it and feel great about it. On the other hand, we can search for it internally and not get actions and get confused and scrutinized with the friends. And
you don't need to do it about this, about practical commandments. You don't need to be in all kinds of searches the way you say it. No. You just need to do it, and that's it. Go, buy it, and that's it, if you want to. You don't need anything more.
How do we keep the center of our forces and energy in engaging in the internality of the work, the internality of the connection between us and our connection with the Creator, and not run to all kinds of easy actions?
We need to be in connection between us and to understand that the connection between us is intended to show us how we are still not humans, that it's a very high degree to be the son of man, Ben Adam, which is human, the son of Adam. And this is why we have to do what we must in order to rise to the level of Adam, man. That's it.
What do we have to do?
What is written? Including the commandment of tzitzit. Well, that's it. You don't want to know more than that. It's better that you don't. What else do we have? Dudi, yes.
You said above reason has to do with performing the commandments, but connection comes first.
So,
what does it mean that above reason is connected to performing the commandments and that connection comes before that?
Observing the commandments means I have to do what is written. And my relation to everything I do should be in order to bestow. Either it's toward people or toward nature, doesn't matter. But it should be in order to bestow.
And above reason, towards performing the commandments?
Yes, it's the same. Well,
another question. We are making efforts in connection. That's actually our place of work in order to attain revelation of the Creator, which is actually the reward.
The reward, that's incorrect, that it's the revelation of the Creator, because our reward is that we will be able to bestow upon the Creator.
When does that work and that reward to give contentment to the Creator, when do they connect into one?
To bestow upon the Creator and contentment to the Creator, when do they unite?
When does the work in the ten between the friends and the connection between us? And bestowing to the Creator, does it connect into one that the work is the reward?
When they unite, first of all, the friends among themselves. And then from the connection between them, they connect to the Creator. This is what should be. Let's hope that we will be able to understand how to.
Yes. A lot of times we say, I didn't want to go to Shivat Chaverim, I didn't turn a work, I overcame, and I went above reason. I didn't want to disseminate, but I did it above reason. How to see the difference? What's the sign that it's not one will to receive overcame, a different will to receive, or if it's really above reason?
Well, what do you think?
No, tagilo.
You tell us.
Ken.
Yes.
Above reason is something that only the Creator can help us with. If it wasn't the light that corrected,
that's correct. So if he agrees to go and do something, it's not above reason anymore. It's substituting a cow for a donkey.
He can do it if the light holds him in that state. He got forces to be above reason. If the force was taken away, he'll fall again. That's changing the donkey with the cow.
It depends
what he's working from.
What does that mean?
If he's working from the greatness of the landlord,
yes.
So he needs to check when his work becomes a reward. The greater the landlord is, that state should be clothed.
That's also true. Yes. Okay. Well, we have more to scrutinize here. Yes.
To continue about the true exertion, the third type out of the three, that he said that only when it's against the mind, but he still does it, that's considered true exertion or internal exertion. And that's the same question. Could there be a state that a person has, his mind is entirely opposite, but a person works otherwise, not like the mind tells him? Could that happen before spirituality, such a decision?
How will a person work against his reason, against his intellect?
So the internal exertion is only when a person is in attainment, I guess.
In the end, he always wants to do whatever seems to him like he should do, that the intellect, that the mind determines. So what does it mean above reason?
So that exactly is the loop. By the way, the yesterday's article that we couldn't ask about, I saw that there he touches that point where he said a person can't come out of that
loop. He has to have the salvation of the Lord.
When a
person is in exertion,
it's
when he makes an effort not to get a reward, but he feels pain by being distant from the Creator.
Yes.
So why is that state extended? If you already recognize that that was his problem,
what is?
That he suffers from being far from the Creator.
Yes.
So now the effort he's giving, that still takes time till he reaches a state that he doesn't feel exertion, that he feels that he's working for the Creator and the Creator is forcing him to work. There's a time of exertion.
Exertion from what? From wanting to get away from a state that is difficult?
That's exactly what I want to ask. He recognizes that he would want to run from the work, he'd want to just toss it like Rav Ash writes.
Yes.
But if afterwards he feels that he doesn't want to toss it because that's what the Creator is letting him, he's working for the Creator, that's the feeling that the Creator is giving him the work. Here, it's still exertion?
Here, it's a decision. Does he want to remain here and make an effort on the conditions that have now been revealed when he wants to go above the previous discernment?
When a person recognizes that it's the Creator doing it, so the problems end. That's what it seems like. He doesn't have to begin it with, that's what he was searching for. If you understand that that's what he wants, that's what he needs, because he's distant from the Creator. So when he feels that the Creator is giving him the work, so he actually got everything.
Then he erases himself. Who is he then? He's not present. He's not exist. He doesn't exist altogether.
So here he doesn't disappear. So why? Why is that state exist? Because he recognized the source. The source that is giving him the work. He's already whole with it, supposedly. Why does it still bring him sorrow?
Because now he has a grip on a point where he is still connected, disconnected from the Creator. How can he now complement his existence in the Creator?
Great. So this point, why did the Creator give us, or what should we do in this state? What are the connections that are happening now?
First, I have to acquire independence.
What does that mean?
Independence. If I disappear, I disappear. Then there's no one to talk about. There's no work, there's no me, there's not even the Creator. I need to position myself vis-a-vis the Creator. Otherwise, I don't exist. I have no place for existence anymore.
When does he reach a state of Shabbat that he has no feeling of exertion at all, that it's not work anymore, it's all above it? How does he reach that state?
That's already after several degrees. First, we need to reach a certain level of coarseness, and on that coarseness, we can determine the state of Shabbat.
Why
does he even call the work of serving the Rav as labor? It's only reward, it's not labor. Every moment he does something for something that he feels importance in, he enjoys it, he even fights to be able to do it. Why is it called labor?
The Creator wants us to feel ourselves completely independent. And that's it. Then we discover that He wants to dwell in us.
Yes.
אבל עדיין בדוגמה כשהוא
labor is usually against nature, against one's will. Here in the example he gives with the rabbi, which is clearer than the example with the creator, it's not clear why it's labor. It is a constant reward. If he is in a place with someone he admires, every minute with him is a pleasure.
Yeah.
There's no labor here. Why does he call it labor? What's the labor about it?
That he gets pleasure from the connection?
Yes, he's in service of the Upper One. If he's connected to the Upper One and he feels that he's serving him, he enjoys it very much. He's not working.
He doesn't have to do actions, action of restriction, screen, reflected light, all kinds of things that he doesn't want to exist.
So the labor here is against the pleasure, yeah. Not against the suitcase, not, but against the reward.
Yes.
Maybe to continue this scrutiny. If a person labors against his will to receive, he wants to run away and begins to ask the Creator, and suddenly a friend comes and praises him for that labor. Suddenly he feels filled up. So what's the work here?
There's double work. It's even more work than what he had before. Because now he also needs to annul his feeling that he's great, that he did great work, that he has that he had something in his hands.
So stop, thank the Creator. What should he do more internally? What's the work?
What desire was he in?
He did something with his hands and legs against his will.
Yeah.
And the friend comes over and begins to praise him. So now he's satisfied within. He's happy now.
That's something else. So, what do you want to ask about that?
What is the work here? When he's satisfied in his will to receive, he doesn't want to run away anymore from the work he did.
Well,
so what is the work here?
So he starts respecting the work he did, that he thinks that by this he gained something. A corporeal gain, right? So now he has a problem. He has to stay away from that. Those actions, that through them he got a corporeal reward, and to start doing something else, to scrutinize. That's what Rabash constantly explains to us, that we need to look at our state through in a point that is independent, that if a friend comes and appreciates you, so is he doing you a favor or something bad?
It's as if he steals my labor from me. That's how it seems.
Maybe the opposite. Maybe he's giving you opportunity for a double exertion that you need to bring yourself back to the true state, that it's not your place, you don't deserve anything, and then you'll start doing the work.
That's already at that moment I do it within me.
It's not sure, it's if you want to do it.
That's it. Many times it slips. Yes, what is what is a person with respect to the ten? Because in the corporeal eyes, you always see that the friends, he also writes in the article that we read yesterday or the day before, he writes that when a person begins to labor, he begins to compare his work with the friends. He works more, I think this guy works less, etc. So our eyes always lie to us. I always see my labor as the best, the highest.
No.
And the labor of the friends, I don't see it at all.
Yeah.
So, how to appreciate, to value the labor of the friends, how to get from them the strength, the importance, on top of these corporeal eyes that keep hiding it.
That depends how you connect one to one another. How you build a ten, how from your ten you want to turn to the Creator, and all these actions will build you correctly, will build the connection between you and the direction.
Nature.
What should the ten
build together,
yeah,
so it will be a force that will assist, as he writes here, help each friend come out of his reason, of his nature.
That's what they have to build, that each and every one has a desire to help all the friends to be in this common work. Each one bestows to everybody.
Yesterday, we said that we want to come to the Congress as a 10 with something internal. We will be able to contribute to all the friends participating in the Congress.
Yes.
What can a 10 bring with it to the Congress that will help everyone?
Each and every 10 want to bring to the convention connection, unity that they attained before the Congress, and when they come to the convention, they want to bestow that intensity of the connection that's in them in order to wrap the whole Congress in it.
How does he do it? With thought. So it wants it to disperse, to spread among everyone.
Yeah, that it will grab everybody, hug everybody, swallow everybody, and in that way, they reach one result.
And last point, how does the 10 prepare for such an action? Now it wants to prepare itself to this act. How is it recommended for it to prepare itself? What should it scrutinize?
They have to talk about it, they have to scrutinize it, yeah? We have articles about it. I don't know what else to say.
In other words, the scrutiny itself is already a preparation.
Yeah.